If I understood you, would I have this look on my face? My Adventures in the Art and Science of Relating and Communicating. Author, Alan Adler. It all began with my tooth. The dentist had the sharp end of the blade inches from my face. Only then did he tell me what he was seconds away from doing to my mouth. "There will be some tethering," he said. I asked what he meant by tethering. He looked surprised, as if I should know the meaning of a simple word. He began barking at me. "Tethering, tethering," he said. "Okay," I said, a little too accommodatingly. Then he put the scalpel into my mouth and cut. A few weeks later, I looked in the mirror and tried to smile, but my upper lip dropped lazy over my teeth. No matter how I tried, I could only sneer. The problem was my frenum. I no longer had one. I called the dentist and explained that I make a living with my face, and sometimes I needed one that could smile. His response was curt. "I told you there were two steps to the procedure. I haven't done the second step yet." I was a little reluctant to let him do the second step. Maybe this time he'd have a go at my frenum under my tongue. I've come to see my exchange with the dentist that day as something that happened frequently in life. A brief encounter that threatens a relationship's delicate tissue, the tender frenum of relationship. Those few minutes I spent in his chair have become a symbol for me of poor communication and of what causes it. Disengagement from the person we hope will understand us. That disengagement can stand in the way of all kinds of happiness and success, from the world of business to the business of love. Relating, it's the cake. You kids think relating is the icing on the cake. Mike Nicholas told me in one rehearsal, it isn't, it's the cake. But what is relating? Relating is being so aware of the other person and letting everything about them affect you. Not just their words, but also their tone of voice, their body language, even subtle things like where they're standing in the room or how they occupy a chair. Relating is letting all that seep into you and have an effect on how you respond to the other person. In acting, this kind of relating is fundamental. You don't say the next line simply because it's the script. You say it because the other person has behaved in a way that makes you say it. Relating to them allows them to have an effect on you, to change you in a way, and that's why you respond the way you do. Empathy and the theory of mind. Being connected to the other person happens when you see them in a way that's both emotional and rational, especially if we include listening with our eyes. Looking for clues in the face, gestures, and all the nonverbal signs of a state of mind. It's complete and total listening. It's understanding what another person is feeling, empathy, and what they are thinking. Empathy gives us a sense of what's going on in the heart, but we also need to be aware of what the head is up to, what the other person is thinking. Our understanding of what's going on in the other person's mind is the result of several kinds of listening. We put together all the clues we can, facial expressions, tone of voice, body language, and any telling words they let drop. The mirror exercise. Two people are standing face to face. They look intently into each other's eyes. Very slowly, one of them starts to move, and immediately the other moves as if she were his mirror. At first, they're having trouble. The person playing the mirror lags behind. She's not so much a mirror as a delayed video recording of his movements. But that's because he's not giving her a chance to keep up with him. This is the basic idea. The person who is communicating something is responsible for how well the other person follows him. If I'm trying to explain something and you don't follow me, it's not simply your job to catch up. It's my job to slow down. Teams. Researchers found that the average intelligence of a group could not significantly predict the group's performance. What could predict it, though, were three factors. The ability of the members of the group to freely take part in discussions. Members' scores on a standardized test of empathy, and surprisingly, the presence of women in the group. The more women you had in the group, the higher the level of empathy the whole group had, and the better it performed. So empathy played a part in two out of the three factors that predicted success. Yes and. For improvisers, yes and means you accept what the other player presents you with, without blocking it or denying it. You add to it. if one player says, "Look at all that water down there," and the other player completely blocks it by saying, "That's not water, that's the stage," then the scene is over. But if the player follows the principles of yes and, he can accept what's been handed to him and add to it. Wow, what a lot of water. Let's jump in. And they're off in swimming. Collaborators in a lab or anywhere else can listen to one another's ideas, no matter how odd they are, and add constructively to them. Total listening starts with where they are. Listening begins before you even communicate. You picture an audience and think, what are they aware of? Where should I start? How deep should I go? What are they eager to know? If I start too far in, will I be using concepts they don't understand? You not only have to start with what they already understand, you have to know when to stop, or they'll feel swamped. So knowing what they're ready to hear is critical, and coming in too early or too late can be confusing. Leadership. There's no doubt that leadership is important, but just as important as how leadership is communicated. You can command good performance from someone in exchange for not firing them, or you might be able to ignite the desire in a person to perform well by turning into their state of mind. This has been shown to be the better way. Instead of saying to your subordinates, "You've done a bad thing, don't do it again," you can say, "You've done really good things, do more." The first gives them a vision of failure they somehow have to avoid, while the second gives them a model of success to live up to. Communicating with customers and selling. As a customer, I get communication from corporations all day long. Every time I open a package, the company that made it is communicating with me. When I can't open a hard plastic clamshell container with scissors or a knife, or even a hammer, I wonder, has the president of the company even personally tried to open this thing? The more obvious way business communicate with us is through selling. The salespeople use social awareness. Success in selling has been shown in a number of studies to improve when the salesperson listens to the client and actively expresses an understanding of their thoughts and emotions. Couples, really active listening. I have read a lot of tips on communication for couples. Many of them are useful, like active listening, letting the other person know you've heard what they said. But active listening can easily morph into veiled hostility. There's a difference between "let me see if I heard you correctly" and "let me see if I heard you correctly" with a stern face. Couples may have a hard time with communication because so much of it is nonverbal. We might not think our true feelings are showing, but our partners can read our feelings nonetheless. All the more good reason to be good at reading our own emotions, as well as the emotions of the other person, and then being able to regulate those emotions, or the volcano could blow. Emotions makes it memorable. I was talking one day with a memory researcher, Jim McGaw, who turned to me and said, "I bet if I asked you to remember your first kiss, you'd be able to." I certainly could, and did, as soon as he mentioned it. But it wasn't some romantic moment in the amber light of the setting sun that I remembered. It was an awkward 12-year-old spin-the-bottle smooch that didn't do much for either one of us. It was actually a little embarrassing at the time, and that illustrated Jim's point. We remember things that are tied to an emotion, any emotion, even embarrassment. Story and the brain. If you're looking to bring emotions to someone, a story is a perfect vehicle. Our lives are filled with stories, and yet when we want to communicate something important to us, we often forget there's a story behind it. When you tell me a story, our brains get coupled in a very real way. People's mind will sync up in the presence of story. But the process relies heavily on there being some similarity between the storyteller and the listener. The more commonalities you have with the speaker, he told me, the better the understanding. Make it dramatic. When scientists need funding, or a business needs to capture the imagination of the public, or a parent wants to impart wisdom to a child, the most vivid way to do it is with a good dramatic story. We can identify with someone who has a goal, but we root for someone with both a goal and an obstacle. It's important to know what the hero or heroine want, but it's also important to know the obstacles in their way. the improvisation of daily life. If we remember that every conversation we have, every bit of advice we give, every letter we write, can be an exchange in which the other person might actually have a better way of looking at it, then we have a chance to be in sync, to be in a dance with a partner, not a wrestling match with an opponent.